Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
I used to even do it on my roof in Manhattan by just putting up an old garbage can up there and putting my waste in it.
He's talking about composting, of course. We heard from a number of listeners who wanted to know more about composting and permaculture, so we've put together an entire episode devoted to just that. And for folks interested in growing food indoors, we also talked to some experts about hydroponics and aquaponics. But first, here's Mia Partlow with a look at this week's news.
A group of 60 organic farmers from across the U.S. have joined forces to sue Monsanto in an effort to contest the agribusiness titan's patent on their genetically modified seeds. Because of how the U.S. patent system works, Monsanto technically owns the genes contained in any of their GMO crop seeds. So, if a farmer is planting Roundup Ready corn and his neighbor is growing organic corn, and testing discovers any of the modified genes in the neighbor's crop, the neighbor can be sued by Monsanto under their patent. Incidentally, this also renders his corn useless on the organic market. Monsanto released a statement regarding the lawsuit, saying, quote, "These efforts seek to reduce private and public investment in the development of new, higher-yielding seed technologies." This week, Iowa's Senate Agricultural Committee followed in the footsteps of the House in approving a bill that bans videos, photographs, and other unapproved recordings to be taken in facilities that maintain animals in the state. Although the bill specifically refers to factory farms, its language also protects research facilities, nurseries, warehouses, and other places where food is produced and stored. Opponents say the bill would remove consumers' ability to independently monitor what goes into their food, especially because these rules apply to crops and warehouses as well. But Iowa farmers and agribusiness lobbyists say the law is needed to protect their facilities. The bill's manager, Senator Tom Riley, says more work needs to be done on the constitutionality of the bill, primarily in regards to how it might limit freedom of speech, before it goes before the full Senate for a vote. And a study from the University of Georgia Center for Food Safety has confirmed what organic shoppers have known all along. Organic chickens are just plain better than conventional birds. In this case, researchers found that fewer organic chickens are contaminated with salmonella than their conventional counterparts. They examined 300 organic and 400 conventional broiler chickens, as well as their floor droppings, feed sample, and drinking water for salmonella levels. Results show that over one quarter of conventional broilers had salmonella, while only 4% of organic broilers did. But it gets better. The researchers also found that almost 40% of the salmonella found in the conventional birds had resistance to no fewer than 6 different antibiotics. Ew. For more news like this, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Just search for Earth Eats. For Earth Eats, I'm Mia Partlow.
Composting is the practice of taking organic matter, like food scraps and leaves, putting it in a big pile so that it breaks down over time. The result is a rich soil amendment. No more buying fertilizers and no more throwing banana peels into the landfill. I visited Worms Way Garden Center just outside of Bloomington, Indiana to learn more. They're a locally owned and operated company that sells anything that a real green thumb could need for both year-round indoor and outdoor gardening. I asked Worms Way Charlene Fish if it's possible to compost in an apartment without having your kitchen smell like a garbage truck.
Sure, that's a very good question. There are really two different types of composting. There's the regular outdoor composting where you think of a regular compost bin, and then there's worm composting as well, composting with red worms. And that's very doable inside. In fact, you're supposed to do that type of composting inside, and it doesn't have a smell. If you're doing it right, most of the time it won't. If you're mixing in a good amount of non-food materials like straw, things like that, you can even put in a little bit of sawdust if you want to. You can put in green leaves as well. Those type of things will help to cut down on any smell that might be generated from the food scraps.
Charlene showed me a worm bin. I didn't realize that investing in an indoor compost bin would also mean adopting some pets.
This is a really neat system. And here, all those little red worms and all of that dark organic matter that you see is worm castings. It's worm poo, basically, is what it is. And it's different than regular compost because it's coming from the worms. And it's a really good fertilizer. You can use it to top dress your plants. You can mix it into outdoor soil.
And there's a spigot. What is this spigot here?
What you saw there was basically the solid part of the worm compost, but there is a liquid that comes from it as well, and that spigot is used for that to come out, and you can mix that with water and make a worm tea and water your plants with it.
Worm tea.
Mm-mm. Worm casting tea.
Yummy. Talk to me about your personal composting adventures. Do you do this at your own house?
I do. I have my own compost bin, and I've harvested my own.
And you garden too?
I do. So I've used it on my own garden.
Have you found that certain types of vegetables or plants respond better to compost?
Sure. Some plants prefer to have really rich soil. Some plants are really heavy feeders. Tomatoes, peppers, anything in the cabbage family, those things really benefit from heavy feeding, so compost is good for plants like that. There are some plants, Mediterranean herbs like lavender, rosemary, they actually prefer poorer soils. They don't need to have as much compost, so you can still put compost on there. It's going to give your plants nutrients, which is always a good thing, and it's going to make your soil better. You're feeding your soil. Some plants, you know, can benefit more from it than others, though, but a plant that's in a healthy soil is going to be a healthy plant.
Join the healthy number of fans who follow our updates all week long on Facebook and Twitter. Just look for Earth Eats. We were just talking about composting in small places, but you can grow food in small spaces too. You don't even need soil if you grow with hydroponics.
And it's just essentially, it's gardening without soil. It's gardening in water is what hydroponics is. You have to pay attention to it. It is a little bit of a science, but it's really neat to see your plants grow, and they grow faster hydroponically as well, so that's one of the benefits.
We're looking at a silver-lined hydroponics tent with about 8 tomato plants inside. The plants get fertilizer-infused water a couple times a day, and there's a high-intensity discharge light that fills the tent with a warm glow.
Really, the main thing that you want to do is mimic the growing conditions that they would have outside. So we give them 8 to 12 hours of light every day. We make sure that the humidity stays around 50%. That's what most plants like. We change out the water every few weeks to make sure that the nutrients are fresh and to make sure that they're getting good fresh water.
Another alternative growing method relies on the relationship between plants and fish. It's been implemented at a farm in inner city Milwaukee called Growing Power Incorporated.
It's a demonstration of how you develop an integrated food system, and you can do amazing things on small spaces.
That's Will Allen, founder and CEO of Growing Power. His urban farm includes some 20,000 plants, goats, bees, fish. With a setup like Growing Powers, he says you can feed 10,000 people on 2 acres.
To be able to use vertical space, for example, if you have a base footprint of 3,000 square feet, to turn it into 5,000 square feet of growing space by growing 7 different layers inside the greenhouses, and to be able to grow food year-round.
Part of why the system is so successful is because of their use of aquaponics, using fish water to fertilize plants.
So now we have a system where we capture water, rainwater outside in a fish system, 20,000-gallon fish system, and we pump that water into another fish system on the inside of the greenhouse, and then we're able to pull water off of that rain catchment system that has the fish in it to water. We pressurize it so that we're able to water all the plants in all of the different greenhouses. Then we're able to raise the fish in a year. We produce tilapia, and a little over a year, we also raise lake perch.
Thanks to Charlene Fish and Will Allen for that information on alternative growing methods. Send us a message to let us know how you grow your food, or just let us know what you thought of this episode. Our email address is eartheats@gmail.com. If you do have the luxury of a large backyard, you can explore even more growing and composting options. To feed his elaborate garden, Chef Daniel Orr has installed an equally elaborate composting system. It's made up of three bins, one on the far end that's virtually empty.
That's where I'm going to deposit all of my new compost. And then we've got the three piles aging at different times. So the second one is the second oldest, and then this one over here would be the newest. And what you want to do is to keep them moving, aerating them. So what I'll do now is I'll take my shells and vegetable scraps. We've got
pineapple.
onion skins.
Lemons.
Yeah, all kinds of different things. Potato peels. You see how dark the soil is in there. And that last bin that I threw in there had a bunch of coffee grounds, which are great for the soil as well. You can see we even have some mussel shells in here from the restaurant. Mussel shells are about the only ones I like to use in this because clam shells are a little too thick. Compost is the green waste that comes from your preparation of your food. You end up paying just as much for the pineapple peel as you do for the meat inside. So I think that you should try to get as much out of it. There's been a lot of energy put into raising these products that just to throw them into a landfill seems like a waste of human energy and fossil fuels.
So you're putting some soil from compost number two into what you just threw in there.
And what that will do is start that, and then we'll layer it. So every time I bring down new compost, put some of this older compost over here on top of it, and that's aerating the older compost, allowing it to break down more. It's also covering up the new compost so different critters don't get into it. Also, you don't want your neighbors to get mad at you for having a stinky compost.
And if you squeeze your abs, you've got an anaerobic workout here.
Yeah, exactly. It usually takes about 18 months to completely turn it from the waste to soil. But what that gives you is some great soil, so you're not just going and buying soil that's been imported from Canada. It's insane when we can make it ourselves here that we're spending these fuels bringing it in from foreign countries.
What do you do when the compost is ready?
When the compost is ready, the main time I use it is in the spring, and I'll be able to use that to, when I dig a hole to put a tomato plant in, I'll drop some of that compost in. If I'm filling up a pot to grow some parsley in, I'll fill it up with compost.
From composting, we take it to another level, permaculture, which is short for permanent agriculture or permanent culture. It's the idea of fostering relationships among humans, plants, animals, and the soil so that they can all work together in the most productive way possible. To make that happen, first you have to rebuild damaged soil layer by layer by injecting it with stuff you might usually put in your compost pile, food scraps, newspapers, garden waste. In this way, permaculture also cuts down on what you're contributing to landfills. I found someone using the concept of permaculture to rejuvenate her garden, Mary Lou Orr. That's right, she's Chef Daniel Orr's mother. What Mary Lou is trying to do is feed the soil with compostable material to get it happy and healthy once again.
This idea of getting the world that's underneath our feet into better shape. So I'm trying now here to get that going, and I'm double digging with my spade.
And she's digging a trench. She throws her kitchen and garden scraps into the trench along with some other bits of waste from the house.
And then here's another thing. This is a waste basket full of all the old envelopes and junk mail.
You're really throwing envelopes and junk mail onto the ground.
Right in there. And most of the dyes that are used in newspapers and most of this stuff are vegetable dyes, and it's okay to do this. That's tens of pounds of junk meal. If you keep that and take it to recycling, you know how much that is, and you don't have to take it to recycling. You can recycle it in your own yard. Then the top thing that you put down is cardboard. Then I'll cover the cardboard itself with things that don't have seeds in them. And that includes, at this time, I'm cutting back all the daylily pieces and throwing them in. I'm hoping that it won't be so ugly that my neighbors will just be aghast.
So it's just like you're remaking your garden, then, by doing this.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that what I'm doing is really remaking the soil and giving it a chance to have its own growth. And then the plants have enough nitrogen and enough various minerals and stuff to make the good enzymes that do the stuff that the plants need to keep them healthy.
Thanks to Mary Lou Orr for showing us her permaculture project. If you want to learn more about cutting down on your waste and rejuvenating your garden, check out our website, eartheats.org.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Production support also comes from goodsforcooks.com, online at goodsforcooks.com.
Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.